We are in the last of our series of Better Covenant. Say that with me. Better Covenant. Better Covenant. Thank you for repeating. You should be thankful. I heard last week here it was like hot and there was no air conditioning. Today, at least we're like 70-ish, give or take, right? You're not sweating, so you don't have to sweat and listen to me. You just get to listen to me. Isn't that great? So last week, we talked about the tabernacle. For those that weren't here, we talked about the tabernacle, what that means, what happened as Jesus came and replaced it, and how we are better for it. The Old Testament, right, God gave us this tabernacle of how we interacted, how we worshiped him, and how we atoned for our sins. And it, not to say that God wasn't right in doing so, it was right, but it wasn't the quote-unquote perfect solution. And that is why we get Jesus. So we're going to continue reading. We're going to continue digging into this notion of covenant and see where that takes us today as we continue reading in Hebrews. Did I not click the button? Did I not? Oh, no, I just didn't turn it on. perfect. So we're going to read from Hebrews 9, 23 to 28. Let's follow along. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times. Thank you, Pastor. Many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. I'm sorry, I thought you guys were reading the exact same thing I was, but you were, but I just didn't click the PowerPoint. So, a covenant. A covenant is an unbreakable commitment that two parties make to one another. We've talked about this in the past few weeks. We learned that in the Old Testament, God made a covenant with Israel, and that in the New Testament, God established a new and better covenant through his Son, Jesus Christ. Today, covenants are sealed with an exchange of vows, or perhaps a legal document. In biblical times, covenants were sealed with the blood of animals. When two parties sealed their covenant with the blood of an animal, they essentially were saying, if I break our covenant, may I die like this animal. A little bit extreme, I know. Sealing the covenant with animals' blood provided a sense of security that the covenant would not be broken. Today, we're going to dig more into how God sealed his new covenant with us through the sacrifice of his own son, and we will discuss the significance that this has on our lives. So, if you look at this picture, can anyone guess what they think this picture is? If you know, don't spoil it. Any guesses? No, what? If you get it right, I'll give you $5. Just kidding, I won't. But feel free to guess. What do you think that is? It's not Jesse. Oh, you looked at the slides, didn't you? All right. Can you see? Okay. I can point. That's right. Magic. All right. That's a hand. That's for reference. And then this is a crack. Do you know what that a crack is inside of? I'll give you a hint. It's something you use to make your clothes dry. It's a dryer. Yes, it's a dryer. It's a dryer. Wow, that was great. It's a dryer. You can kind of guess, right? It's like a circular tube, and then you see the crack. So, this is a dryer. So I moved into our house. My wife and I moved into our house about. No, that was a, I'm just thinking that was such a great hint. Clothes, make sure clothes dry. But we moved into our house about 2 years ago, and when you move into a house, you tend to need to buy things for your house. So we bought like a fridge. We brought a washer, we brought a dryer, and then And then we were about to pay for it, and I'm like, okay, so how much is it? I don't remember exactly, but it was probably $3,000 or $4,000 for the fridge, washer, dryer. And after that, and then the guy's like, this is the best part. Do you want to buy an extended warranty? Now, me and my infinite wisdom, based on what I knew, I'm like, you know, warranties never work. Don't buy the warranties. Have you guys ever had to buy anything and they offered you an extended warranty on things? Yeah? When you guys buy it, does it actually result in you using the extended warranty? No, right? So that's my thought. And I'm like, you know what? No, I don't need an extended warranty. They're a scam. And so I didn't buy an extended warranty. And we bought this in September of 2017. And this happened in October of 2018. So if you do the math, that is like exactly 1 year out past the manufacturer warranty of how they'll replace your dryer or whatever. And I'm looking. I'm like, who's washing like rocks in my dryer? This is like a steel drum. You know, dryers are like steel inside. It's not. I blame our housemates, Maria and Bernard. They probably threw something in there, and I do not know what they did. And then I'm like, oh, Jesus. So what do you do? The next logical thing, I'm a husband. My wife will not enjoy if we have to hang dryer clothes. So what do? We buy a new dryer to replace that old dryer. Yay. And if you had to guess, do you think I bought the warranty on the new one or I didn't? Who thinks yes? Four or five of you. Who thinks no? Wow, okay, a lot more if you thought no. So I was doing the math in my head, right? The way I looked at it was when I bought the fridge, the washer, and the dryer, I was like, all right, it's going to cost me $600 just to buy the warranties for those three things. And I'm like, the odds of all of them failing are low. So there's $600 left that if something happened, maybe I need to replace it, I still have the $600. And so when we bought this new washer, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to go for that price range, give or take. And so you guys were like, right? You're right and wrong in the sense I didn't technically buy an extended warranty because I was a little smarter. I went to Costco and I bought it from Costco because Costco gives you a 3-year extended warranty for free, but I had to pay extra out of pocket. I didn't have to. They gave you could buy another like 2 years on top. I didn't do that. But so I didn't buy the extended warranty, but I wanted to go and buy it where they have a longer warranty, if that makes sense. Do you know why I wanted to do that? Why I wanted to go out and buy something with the warranty? My wife. That's a great answer. Yes, my wife. Yes, I didn't want to deal with this again in a few months. But it gave me a sense of security. Does that ring true, right? If you ever are in a position where you want to buy warranty or insurance, for that matter, right? The reason you do these things is so you can feel secure. You feel like, I'm not going to have to buy another warranty. I'm not going to buy another dryer in 3 months because it broke. You get this sense of security, right? So I did some interesting reading. And for extended warranties, the actual percentage of the money that goes to people claiming requests or people actually claiming warranties is only 12%. So let's say someone buys a $5,000 extended warranty. Only 12% of that is going to ever be used for whatever is intended. The rest of it, the 88%, goes straight to the pocket of the manufacturer, straight in the pocket of the dealer or whatever. Yeah, so extended warranties really are a not good deal. But as the reason why they always sell it to you, and when they sell it to you, they make you feel like, yeah, you know, just in case your fridge door handle breaks off and it's going to cost you $1,000 to fix that handle, you can buy this warranty for $500. But more often than not, it doesn't work. The reason I'm sharing this story is because what do extended warranties teach us about human nature? It teaches us we don't make the most smart financial decisions, usually. For me. But it also teaches us that there is a need, there is an inherent need that everyone wants to feel secure. Right? Everyone wants to feel secure. Because when you feel insecure, don't you feel helpless? You feel like, oh, darn, like, I have to take care of this. Or you feel insecure, you feel like, oh, am I going to have food tomorrow? Oh, where am I going to stay tonight? Everyone wants this kind of security. You want to feel safe. You want to feel like that you're taken care of. You want to feel covered. No one likes to feel unprotected. Now, I'm not saying that feeling secure is bad. Don't get me wrong. It's good. But what happens is sometimes if we don't place our sense of security in the right thing, it can become a sense of idolatry. If we place all of our security in our money, if we place all of our security in even your spouse, your significant other, if we place all of our security in our parents, not to say that it's not wise to do that, but if you place all your security in there, unfortunately, those things can fail you. Your spouse can let you down. Your parents can let you down. The economy can collapse tomorrow and everyone's 401k and bank accounts are emptied out. Things like these can happen. Now, today we're going to keep going, but everyone needs security. As we continue reflecting on Hebrews, I want to argue that Jesus is our security. When we draw security from Jesus, we can discover a stability that cannot be shaken by any event or circumstance. When we find our security in Christ, we discover what David would say when he says, "You are my rock and my mighty fortress." You are my rock and my mighty fortress. To deeper understand, we're going to reflect on the idea of covenant and sacrifice. This is what we read about, right? We've been focusing on covenant and sacrifice. Last week we learned that Jesus is our high priest. One of the duties of a high priest is to offer animal sacrifices to atone for our sins. That's why it was so common to see that in the Old Testament. These sacrifices would remove the pollution of sin and allow people of God to draw near to him. This provides a sense of, shall we say, spiritual security. The people were able to draw to God knowing in confidence that their sins were atoned for, that their sins had been paid for in full. And as our new high priest, Jesus also provided a sacrifice, and that his sacrifice is superior to that of the Old Testament sacrificial system and gives us the basis for our security. So Christ is our security. In Hebrews 9:12, it says, "He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemptions." Hebrews 9:12. The first major difference, if we look at the sacrifices that were offered, we look at the Old Testament sacrifices, we compare it to the New Testament, the sacrifice of Christ, is that normally priests would sacrifice an animal. They would sacrifice blood or something of that sort. But Christ, he sacrificed himself. He sacrificed his body, his all. And rather than the blood of the lambs, Jesus offered his blood on the cross for us. Jesus made a sacrifice that was fully sufficient, that it is fully sufficient to save people from their sin. So, before we keep going, I wanted to kind of dig into sacrifice a little more and why it's important, why we want to focus on it. So, do you know why sacrifices were necessary? Because of sin. Right? Sacrifices are necessary because of sin. And Jesus, if Jesus is the ultimate sense of security for us, if Jesus is the be it all, the end of all means, if Jesus is the ultimate security, I would say sin is the ultimate source of insecurity. Does that make sense? Sin is the ultimate source of insecurity. There's an article I read the other day, and it had a story about a young boy, and what happened with this young boy was he's an older fellow, but he was talking about his past. And in his past, what happened was when he was about 7 or 8 years old, he happened to be raped, and he happened to be attacked, and he was carrying this feeling of sin, of insecurity, and he was walking with it every day of his life. And in this hiddenness of sin, he felt that he couldn't be loved. He felt that he couldn't be cared for. He felt that he couldn't be anything more. He had this hiddenness that he held inside of him, and that is what held into him. Now I'm gonna share this small part here, and as we keep going on this sermon, I'm gonna keep adding to this story. So keep that just pin that proverbial story in your minds. So we experience insecurity because we live in a world that has been corrupted by sin. Sin also leaves us spiritually insecure because it separates us from God and places us under God's judgment instead. So how do we resolve this problem of sin? According to the scripture, there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. This is why there were sacrifices in the Old Testament and why Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice in the New Testament. Unlike the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament, Christ made a sacrifice that was fully sufficient to save his people. The blood from animal sacrifices covered sin, but Jesus' blood removes sin. Animal blood covers sin, but Jesus' blood removes the sin, removes that sense of guilt, removes the feeling you have of feeling insecure. In his humanity, he is able to represent humanity in his deity, he is able to offer a sacrifice of eternal worth. That is how Christ's sacrifice is sufficient to remove the pollution and condemnation of sin from our lives. So back to the story a little bit. So this young boy, he just had this feeling of sin, this feeling of guilt in his heart from when he was younger. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, I need to correct myself. I think I said this wrong in the first service. Actually, it wasn't. It's coming back to. I read this article a few weeks back. But what actually happened was in the boy. It wasn't a rape story. It was actually he fell into a relationship with another boy at that age and engaged in sexual relationship with that boy at a young age of 7 or 8. I'm sorry, I misquoted myself earlier as well. But so what happened was he fell and he felt guilty. He felt sinful of what happened in that situation. And as a result, he felt like he couldn't be loved, he couldn't be worthy, he couldn't be approached by anyone. But as the story progresses, he met this youth pastor, and this youth pastor went to his house every week and asked this young boy to come to church with him, come to youth group with him. And he would always say, no, I don't want to go. Because, as he was sharing, he felt that because of his sin, because of the hiddenness of his sin that he couldn't bring out to anyone, because of the sin he held, he couldn't share or he couldn't feel like he could connect with others. And so this youth pastor just every week asked him to come to church, asked him to come. And one day, after many no's, the boy said yes. He said, okay, fine, I'll go. It's funny how sometimes it takes a lot of no's to get one yes. But that's what happened. And after a lot of no's, he eventually decided to come. And what happened was that when he came, he felt the love of Christ come upon him. And he was able to feel the security and the warmth and love that he found in Christ. And as a result, he was able to be free from the hiddenness of the sin that he had inside of him. He was able to feel connected and feel that he is worthy to be loved, that he is worthy to be accepted by others and by Christ. And all our sins, I'm not saying this is just a story, but I'm saying all our sins are different. We all have hidden sins. We all have sins that make us feel that we're not worthy. We all have sins that make us feel that why do I deserve to be loved? Why do I deserve the attention of others? Why am I worthy of the love of Christ? And it took that youth pastor continually asking him to come, until eventually he did come. And he felt the love of Christ, and he felt that he is worthy to be loved. He felt security in Christ and that Christ's salvation for him. That story is going to keep going, but I wanted to move on to our next point first, and I'll tell the rest of that story. That's not the end. That's merely the beginning of the story. So Jesus provided a sacrifice that is once for all. In Hebrews 9:12 again it says, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:25-26. We find security in Jesus because his sacrifice was sufficient, right? That he paid the price. He is the deity, the one for all that paid the price for our sins. But we also find security in Jesus because his sacrifice, as we read there, was once for all. In the passages we just read, the author mentions twice that Jesus' salvific work was done once for all, unlike the high priest who would have to offer sacrifices every year to atone. Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice completed it all, and that is why when at the cross he said, it is finished. The cool thing about this is that when Christ paid it for all of our sins, for everything, it's not a one-time deal. If I try to compare it, my extended warranty, that will last another 2-3 years, and that's it. It's done. But with Jesus, it doesn't have an expiration date. It goes on and on and on. His security that he gives us in the salvation has no expiration date. We never have to worry that one day we might wake up and find that God has changed his mind or withdrawn his grace. If we think as marriage as an analogy, we enter marriage as a covenant for better or worse, for sickness or health, for rich or poor. And there isn't the idea of being able to back out of that. It's a covenant. It's forever. It's till death do us part. When we look at dating is not quite on the same level as marriage, right? Dating is like, we can date. If I don't like what's happening, if you don't connect, you can still walk out. But that's not what the idea of a covenant is. A covenant happens such as like in marriage, and such as it is in Christ, it is till the end. To those who have the covenant with Christ, security is given, and it cannot be taken away. What is it that you put your security in today? Do you have your security in your girlfriend, your boyfriend, in your significant other, in things of this world, in your money, in your friends? Those securities, those won't be here forever. Those won't last. Those won't carry you through the end times. Maybe if you really think about it, maybe even the securities that you've placed in Christ sometimes have been misplaced, or you feel it has been misplaced because he has let you down, or you feel that he has let you down, that in your time of need that you didn't get exactly what you were looking for. I just want to remind you, though, that God is eternally good and that he is forever good, and that even in those times you feel that he may have let you down, but I really want to encourage you that I don't think that's the case. I think that he has had something else in plan, and that he's still in the works of something that is good for you. So what does the security in Christ grant us? Right? We talked about how with this covenant and with the sacrifice that Christ made, we are able to have security in him, knowing that we have everlasting peace, everlasting salvation, that he will not leave us, right? Yes. And to continue off the story from earlier, the young boy, after he received Christ, it was many years down the road later, but he actually encountered another person. And he didn't know this person that well. He was having a conversation, and he happened to hear the voice of God inside to tell him that he had the exact same experience as that man. And so he went up and he told him, like, I know you had a relationship with a young boy as well when you were younger. And the guy's face actually just just turned pale and he was confused. And then what he said was, I'm not here to judge you. I'm merely here to share with you that I had the exact same experience and that there is hope for tomorrow. And as he created this proverbial runway for the guy who felt like, oh, this sin I have, this hidden sin that is inside of me, this sin that makes me feel like I'm not worthy to be loved. And he gave him a safe place to come in and know that Jesus loved him, that he loved him, that he didn't judge him. And he created a place for him to come and feel welcome, to feel love. Now, the beauty of this is that I believe in a church. I believe in where each and every one of you are sitting and each and every one of you are listening, that because of our security in Christ, because of we are secure in our salvation, we don't have to worry about any disapproval, any judgment, any thoughts of what people think of us, because we are found in Christ. Amen? We don't have to worry about what the person to the left, the person to the right thinks about us. What matters is that, in this story, he was able to use his past sin, his past falling, and actually reach out to someone else and bring them into the community and bring them home to where he belongs and created a space for him to feel love and to feel secure and know that he is worthy to be loved. That's so powerful, because when you begin to have no fear of condemnation, no fear of regret of the hidden sins that you have inside of you, of the sins that you've had from yesterday and you feel too ashamed to share, when you know that you're secure in Christ and you know that your foundation is found in him, when you share these things, when you open, you create better bonds. You build the community. You build better relationships in the body of Christ. You build a platform for people who don't feel secure yet to feel secure, to feel that they are worthy to be loved, to feel that they are worthy of coming into this place and feel belonged, feel the love of Christ in this place. Even in your form of ministry, if you know that who you are in Christ, then you shouldn't feel scared. If you're serving but you feel you're not good enough, I'm not going to lie. I feel very not good enough to be in front of you to speak. I feel very insecure in how I'm able to deliver the word. But I just want to be an encouragement. I want to be a testimony to say that because of Christ, because of my faith, because of my understanding that I am secure in him, I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear. I know that he will provide. I know that he will provide the way. He will provide the words. He will provide what we need in each and every situation. I hope I'm speaking to you guys, because I want everyone to know that this is a place where you can find security in Christ. This is a place where you can build relationships. This is a place where there is openness, where there is truth, where there is honesty, because there is no judgment, because there is the knowing that everyone here has sin. Everyone here has sin that we would not like to be proud of. But because of the price that Christ has paid, because of what he did on that cross, that we are no longer... We no longer have that sin. It's been removed. That it no longer lives in us, that it no longer is a part of us, but we can use that to further his kingdom. We can use that to bless others. We can use that to be a testimony, to be a witness, to be a reaching hand to those who need it. I'm going to close in the next few minutes. I would love if I can get my background music going. When we understand that the approval from God and God alone is all that we need, we can give more freely. We can give more genuinely. We can love more willingly. I used to be part of a boys group. A boys, maybe men's group now. They're all old now. But he's part of a boys group back when I was in L.A. And I'm from L.A. originally. And the beauty of that group was when one of us began to understand that when we are secure in Christ and we no longer care about the judgment of the world and we no longer worry about what others think of us, and if we freely give and we freely share, we were open. We began to share the struggles that we had with pornography, the struggles that we had with masturbation, the struggles that some of us had with sex, some of us struggles had with drugs. When we shared these things, when we created this open and safe space from the hidden sins that we used to not want to talk about, from the hidden sins that we used to not want to share, when we created that place, we actually created a community, a group that we could feel closer with, that we could feel that we can encourage one another, we can help grow, we can continue to encourage, we can continue to understand God more and speak into each other's lives more. We built a tighter-knit bond. This was all because as we began to understand the security that comes because of the covenant we have with Christ, because of the sacrifice that He paid, that we no longer have to care about the approval or disapproval of others, that all that matters is that we are found in Christ. We are found in His security and we are found in Him. Now, some of you are new here and some of you are not new here, but I just really want to tell and speak that as we move forward in our walk with Christ, as we move forward in our understanding of who we are in Him, as we begin to be more vulnerable, as we begin to open up more to each other, I believe that's where God can move in a greater way. That when God can speak more into each other's lives, when God can connect us more from just a Sunday service Christian church to a community who lives wholeheartedly and gives their all for Christ. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, afternoon? Father, we just come before You. We're so grateful for the covenant that You've given us, the covenant of Your Son who paid the ultimate price, who gave His life for us so that He could be the everlasting sacrifice, that there would be no more need for the sacrifices of lambs, of calves, but rather Your Son paid the once for all price. And out of that, we can find the security we need. We don't need to place our security in our finances, in our significant others, in our surroundings, but rather we can find a security that never will let us down, that will never shortcome us, that will never sell us short. And from that, we can begin to be more open. We can begin to connect with those around us, to begin to share our hidden past and not care about the judgment, because we know we are free from it and that we are loved and found by You alone. I just pray, Lord God, that You would speak to the hearts of Your people. You would speak to their hearts and let them know that You are it, that You are the source, You are the place where we can find and we can call home. We thank You, Father. I just want to give this time into Your hands. In Your name we pray.